What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Around the NBA, a podcast where I give my thoughts on the latest news, transactions, teams, and players across the league.
So the first topic of this episode is a topic slash story. A couple of weeks ago, I followed another podcaster on Twitter. Her name is AllNet Podcast. And up until then, I hadn't heard of her or her podcast. And that's not like a disrespect or knock on her, okay? At all. She has way more followers than I do. So she's a lot more relevant in this space than I am. So not a knock on her. But I'm just trying to be genuine and be like, I hadn't heard of her. And so one of her tweets came across my Twitter. And I'm like, huh, she's a fellow podcaster. So let me show some love and support. So I followed her, right? Well, a couple days ago, I got into a little debate with her, and it started off with she retweeted this tweet. I was gonna say reshared and combined it with retweeted, so I said retweeted. But she retweeted someone else's tweet, and the tweet that she retweeted, so many tweets, was basically saying that Nikola Jokic being fourth in the MVP conversation right now is a detriment to the award. So that's the first topic, is should Nikola Jokic be in the MVP conversation? Okay. I kind of discussed Nikola Jokic in my last episode with my brother, but we were kind of discussing more so, is he the best player in the league? And the reason I asked my brother that question is because I knew he was going to say yes. And I wanted to get his side of it. But this is in terms of, should he be in the MVP conversation, all right? She retweeted that person's tweet saying, the fact that he's even fourth right now is a little melodramatic. Because A, the Nuggets are sub 500. Right now they're 14 and 13, but at the time of the tweet, they were 12 and 13. So they were sub 500. But her point still stands that the Nuggets aren't winning how they should be in order for him to be in the MVP conversation. All right, I'll give her that. B, or her second point was, Steph Curry didn't get in the MVP conversation last year until he started going, quote, ham, unquote, and the Warriors started winning. So I read that tweet and I'm like, wait, what? Hold the phone. All right. Let's break this down. Okay. I have two big issues with her main points. So I decided to subtweet her retweet, and we started going back and forth, and she started getting a little nasty, and I'm gonna get into that later. But here's my first rebuttal to her first point, is team success being considered for the MVP award is a little overrated. And my biggest argument for that is, on top of what we're seeing right now with Nikola Jokic's year, is there's three separate occasions, two players that come to mind when I'm about this. The first one being Steve Nash. Steve Nash won back-to-back MVPs in 2006-07. No, I think it was 05-06. It was 05-06. He won back-to-back MVPs. And to this day, we hear those MVPs should have been Kobe's, right? Now, I'm not going to sit here and say Steph Nash didn't deserve those MVPs. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and take those MVPs away and give them to Kobe, because at the end of the day, he won them. But you can make the case that, sure, Kobe deserved those MVPs, right? And right now, to this day, is what we hear all the time. Another situation, right? So that's the first situation that comes to mind. The other one is a little bit closer to home, and it's Derrick Rose, 2012. You can make the case that LeBron James should have won MVP. But based off how we've been given the award, it usually goes to the best player on the best team, except for when Russ won in 2017, 16, when with his triple doubles, like they were the sixth seed. But besides that, most MVPs go to people who are in the top four seeded team. But Derrick Rose, the reason I bring up Derrick Rose is because I had this discussion a couple weeks ago on a Clubhouse call, the Apple app Clubhouse. And someone brought up the fact that if you remove Derrick Rose from that team, MVP Rose from that Bulls team, the Bulls are a lottery team. And I'm like, what? Again, I'm confused because we literally see this play in real time. Derrick Rose gets hurt 2012, his MVP season in the playoffs. We lose that playoff series after Joakim Noah goes down with plantar fasciitis. The following year, we replace Derrick Rose with Nate Robinson as our starting point guard. And this is not a knock on Nate Robinson. I discussed this a little bit in the last episode as well with my brother. The Bulls went on to become, I think they were the seventh seed that year. Bulls were a seventh seed, and Joakim Noah finished top five in MVP votes. So the fact that people believe that you remove an MVP player like Derrick Rose, or just a caliber player like Derrick Rose, the Bulls lose and become a lottery pick team is false, because we literally saw him play in real time. Now, we went from a number one seed to a seven seed. So clearly, yes, he brought a lot of value to our team. But we weren't a lottery team. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, so should he have won MVP that year? I don't know. But you can make the case. It should have been LeBron's. Absolutely. So those are just, I'm just trying to point out the fact that team success is a little overrated, because the Bulls were successful without Derrick Rose. We don't know the situation, what that would look like without Steve Nash on those Suns teams. But we could see it. We saw it in real time with the Bulls. So to me, basing the MVP off team success is overrated. Her second point was Steph didn't get in the conversation until he started going ham and the Warriors started winning. Well, my first rebuttal to that point is, can't you make the argument that Jokic is going ham right now? I mean, he's having one of, if not the greatest statistical year of an individual player ever. Like, the man is averaging 26, 14, 7, shooting like 56, 57% from the field, 62% true shooting percentage. Like, that is outrageous. So you can dead that notion. The other one, well, the Warriors started winning. Now, I know at the end of the season, or the MVP votes happen before the playoffs happen, right? Or in this case, the play-in. But the Warriors didn't even make the playoffs last year. They were a play-in team. And Steph Curry finished third in MVP votes. Not fourth, where Jokic is right now. Third. So he finished higher. Okay? So that was my second rebuttal. So it doesn't matter when he got in the MVP conversation. The point is, he finished third. She was trying to make the case, well, it didn't happen until after the All-Star break. I don't care when it happened. He finished third, and his team didn't make the playoffs. So we can dead that notion as well, right there. That the fact that Jokic shouldn't be in the MVP and shouldn't be in the conversation because the Nuggets aren't winning. Warriors didn't even make the playoffs last year. So, which brings me back to my third point. I just said Steph Curry finished third in MVP votes last year. Okay? Third. He's playing a worse season this year, but the Golden State Warriors are winning. And now he's first in MVP conversation. So what changed? Did he really get better, or did the Warriors get better? Nikola Jokic, last year, MVP, playing better this year. And now he's fourth. So you're telling me the guy who finished third is playing worse off, is number one this year, and the guy who won is playing better, and he's fourth? Or he's not even fourth in your eyes? He shouldn't even be fourth? Like, what are we talking about? Like, how? How does that make sense? So that just goes to show, however we base the MVP conversation right now, is flawed. So you can make the case, based off that logic, sure, Steph Curry should have won last year. Fair. But Nikola Jokic should win this year. Or if you want to flip that, Steph Curry finished third last year. So Nikola Jokic should be somewhere in the top three, if not top four. To me, he's definitely top three. Right now, he's arguably number one. So to sit there and say he doesn't deserve to be there and it's melodramatic is crazy to me. It is crazy to me. Crazy. So after several tweets and going back and forth, this is where things started getting nasty. Because she wasn't necessarily getting nasty with her opinions or her takes. She just started getting tight. And the reason I know she was starting getting tight is because she started cussing at me and she started typing things out in all caps. No, she wasn't really cussing at me. But she was like starting to cuss just in general to get her point across. And she started typing in all caps. To me, if I see that, that means you're hyped. That means you're tight. And I don't know why. And it doesn't really need to be that way. Like, I'm not that type of person that it's not that serious. We're just discussing basketball. I'm giving my opinion. You're giving me yours. That's it. You really got to get all tight and aggressive and dramatic about it in that way. Like, just calm down. It ain't that serious. Let's just talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can be the type of person that, yeah, I can get passionate if I'm in person with you. But if I'm just typing or texting, like, it's not that serious. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to agree with me. I'm not going to agree with you. Let's just leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just dead that notion. Let's just dead it right here. And that's fine. Right? So after this happens, like I had said, I hadn't heard of her podcast until this. And then afterwards, I'm like, why is she so adamant? Like, what is her deal? So let me go check out her podcast. So I find her podcast. Turns out she's a Golden State Warriors fan, and her podcast is all Golden State Warriors. Now I'm like, this makes a whole lot of sense now. This makes so much sense. Listen, I'm okay with you being biased. Just admit you're being biased. Don't act like you're looking at something as such through like such a clear and objective lens when you're not. You know, like, just sit there and say, listen, this is how I feel about it because I'm a Warriors fan, or because I cover the Golden State Warriors. This is how I feel about the situation. Cool, I get it. I understand. You're being biased. You acknowledge that. But if you're not going to acknowledge that, like, come on now. Come on. Everybody knows, well, everybody who's listening to me knows that I'm a Bulls fan. But I'm not going to sit here and say nonsense about the Bulls just because I'm a fan of theirs. Like, I'm going to be unbiased and I'm going to be straightforward about the team. Right now, yeah, they're looking good. But I'm not even going to sit here and say they, even though they do look like they could make the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, they're not, I don't know if they're title contenders yet because we have to wait to see how they play in the playoffs. So I'm not going to even sit here and say that, but some people are. I'm going to be cautious and careful with that because I'm a Bulls fan and I'm not trying to be biased about it. And if I do say that and it's coming out of my biases, I'm going to be upfront and straight about it. I'll be like, listen, the Bulls are this good. The Bulls are winning the title this year. And I'm saying that because I'm biased and because they're playing good, but I can acknowledge that. So like, come on now. That was my biggest issue with it. I'm okay with you not agreeing with me if you just like have, you know, you have your opinion, but if it's coming out of biases, like that's where I have an issue with it, you know? So all that to say, my point was just to make it clear, Nikola Jokic deserves to be in the MVP conversation. Whether you have him 1, 2, or 3, I don't care. As long as you admit, yes, he deserves to be there. If you have him 4th, that's pushing it, but fine. You know, you're at least acknowledging he's there. But to sit there and say he doesn't deserve to be there, these guys are so much clearer MVP award winners than he is crazy to me. It's crazy to me. So even though we had a little disagreement and we don't see eye to eye, just shout out to On That Podcast. I do wish you all the best of luck with your show, even though you're probably never going to listen to this anyways. But seeing that's probably true, just letting you know, I don't follow you on Twitter anymore because you're clearly biased. And until you realize you're being biased, I'm going to keep it that way. So my next topic for this episode is the reports that have been coming out of New Orleans in regards to or pertaining to Zion Williamson and being shut down. And being reevaluated, in another 4 to 6 weeks. And other reports have come out, indicating that he might not be the hardest worker in the room. And that's kind of sad, man. That's really sad. I mean, we've been hearing reports that he has fallen asleep during film sessions. And that he skipped practices, I believe it was. Or no, I think it was physical therapy. I think it was physical therapy that he's been skipping out on. He's fallen asleep during film session. And it's kind of believable because we've seen him fall asleep on the bench, courtside, during games. So I'm like, come on, man. Come on. I was really big on Zion coming out of high school and then coming out of Duke and coming into the league. Like, I remember watching his highlights in high school. I'm like, this kid's going to be something special. Duke, I mean, he was good. He wasn't great, but, you know, it was still Zion. And then when he came into the league, he had that his first game in the of his career. He hit those, what was it, like 3 or 4 threes in a row or something. I'm like, this kid's going to be special. People were counting him out because of his health and his weight, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a shame that that seems to be the case. It seems to be that the people who were doubting him are true. And that's sad, man. That's so sad. It seems like we've seen the peak of Zion Williamson. And it's all because he can't stay healthy. Whether you're thinking of his actual health in terms of weight or in terms of just avoiding injury. Like, he just can't seem to be healthy. And that is going to be his biggest issue for his career. And then on top of that, your work ethic and your commitment to the team is coming into question. Like, that is not good. That is not good. As an athlete, the two things you do not want questioned are your health, or is your health, and your work ethic. Like, how determined are you as an athlete? Like, those are two things you do not want questioned. And he's being questioned on both of them together. So that's definitely not a good look for Zion. And I just don't know if he's just self-sabotaging himself at this point. Because there's been reports that he wants out of New Orleans, which I get and I understand. Like, it's New Orleans. I completely get it, man. But at the same time, it's like not everybody gets the privilege or the ability to go to a Lakers or Celtics or Miami, you know? Like, not everybody gets the chance to go to these historically great franchises. So I understand, like, he may not want to be in New Orleans. And if that's the case, well, that's not the way to go about it. You know what I mean? So it's just not looking good for Zion. It's just not. And when it comes to his health, meaning his weight, everybody's been saying this since he came into the league. Like, he's got to shed some weight. He's got to shed some weight. He's got to shed some weight, right? As someone who's on the bigger side, I really didn't want to go into this, you know, because this isn't no longer about basketball. This is about me personally. But I can kind of understand the mental aspect of his weight issues. I mean, I am on the fluffier side. I can't deny it. Although I have lost some weight in the last year. I have lost about 50 pounds in the last year. Again, didn't really think I was going to go into this. But I can attest to understanding that it's a mental aspect to this. So seeing this, it also makes me think about his how strong is he mentally? Like, it seems like he might not be a mentally strong person, which is crazy because you got to be mentally strong in order to make it to the NBA. But for whatever reason, now that he's there, there's something wrong. There's just something there that I don't know what it is with him that I think it's bigger than basketball. I can't pinpoint it because I'm not with him. I mean, I don't even know if a lot of I'm basing all of this based off reports that we've been seeing, you know. I'm not there. I'm not part of the Pelicans organization. I'm not a friend or a family member of Zion, so I don't live with him, so I don't see him on a 24/7 basis. I'm not Zion. So I don't know what he actually does. But to me, it just seems like it's definitely a mental thing. I mean, the fact that he can't stay healthy, like, meaning physically, you know, with his leg or his foot or whatever, that's, you know, that's just him being injury prone. You know, I don't think that's anything to do with him being, you know, something wrong with him mentally. And I'm not saying there's something wrong with him mentally, but maybe there's an obstacle in his and mentally with him. But him being, like, physically able to play the game of basketball isn't anything mental. But at the same time, you can maybe attribute that to his weight and his health in that sense, which we can attribute to possibly being a mental thing, because for me personally, I know it's a mental thing, although I'm not diagnosed with anything, all right? I'm not a doctor or anything. I've never been diagnosed with, like, an eating disorder or anything or that sort. You know what I'm saying? To me, it's just, I like to eat, and that's it. I like food, all right? And it seems like he may have that issue too, but he's an athlete, so you can still eat. You just got to eat healthier, which I've learned within the last year and a half. All right. Again, I'm going way too far into the conversation or into deviating from basketball talk on this topic. I didn't expect this to go this way, but I'm going to leave it in here because I think it's interesting, at least to me personally. Anyways, I do think it's more of a mental thing with Zion. And I really do hope he can get it together, you know. And maybe he just needs a change of scenery. I get it. It's New Orleans. And there's going to be teams out there that are going to be willing to take the risk on him because of his abilities, his talent, and he's young. So he can definitely turn it around. But as of right now, as it currently sits and as he currently stands, he is arguably the biggest, I was going to say the greatest, but the biggest what-if story in NBA history. Alongside Derrick Rose and Grant Hill. He's definitely up there now. Like, he's definitely top five what-if story. Definitely top, well, I would say arguably top three. In my opinion, he's top three. Definitely top five what-if story. And I think you can kind of label him a bust up until now. And until he proves us otherwise, because I was already on the other side of the ship. You know, I was all for Zion. I was on his side. And I'm not saying I'm not on his side anymore. It's not that deep. It's not that serious. But as someone who was like a big supporter and a big fan of Zion, now I'm on the other side. I'm like, bro, you got to do something about your health. You got to do something about your game. You got to do something about your career right now. Like, you got to step up and you got to prove people wrong. So I'm not saying I'm a doubter or anything of that nature or I don't believe in him. I'm just saying, like, I'm no longer I'm defending him in that way. Like, I used to, like, oh, try to, you know, defend him against people who I would say were haters or just didn't believe in him. You know what I mean? I'm just kind of in the middle now and just going to kind of see where the chips fall. And as of right now, he's got some work to do. I really do hope he pulls through, though. I really do hope he turns it around because he is a terrific basketball player, but he just seems like a genuinely good guy. You know what I mean? He just seems like a genuinely good person. He's always smiley. He's always just like upbeat. Again, this has nothing to do with basketball, but sometimes those people are the ones that have the biggest mental issues. And again, I'm just trying to pinpoint what's going on with Zion. And to me, I believe it's a mental thing. But I really do hope he turns it around. And if it is a mental thing, I really do hope he gets the help he needs. And he turns this ship around and he makes a great career for himself. So to end this episode, I'm going to be ending it with a new segment I like to call Take It or Leave It. It's just going to be me giving a random take on a random subject that I just wanted to discuss. And it does not have to pertain to basketball or anything for that matter. So this weekend, Spider-Man No Way From Home. No Way Home is coming out. And to say I'm stoked and excited to watch this movie is an understatement. So I'm really, really excited. So you guys should definitely go check that movie out because I definitely am. Unfortunately, I can't this weekend, but I'm definitely going to watch it next weekend, Christmas weekend. So just wanted to give the Spider-Man movie a shout out before I get into my take it or leave it take because it's pertaining to Marvel. And I am a movie buff. I'm not a movie junkie because I don't watch everything and anything. I love movies with good stories and good plots and great acting. So my take it or leave it take is actually pertaining to Marvel, okay? And more specifically, the new TV show that they got on Disney Plus, Hawkeye. And I don't know why people really like this show. I don't think it's that good. And I specifically made this segment so I can talk about this show. No, I'm kidding. I've been thinking about how I can incorporate, you know, a way for me to discuss other topics outside of basketball on, you know, because I do dip my toes in a lot of different topics and a lot of different subjects. But I don't want to make like a whole show or a whole podcast, a whole new thing about it. So I'm like, why not just add a little snippet of my mind on this podcast. It's going to be mostly basketball from now on, without question, because that's what I focus on and that's what I love. But I also have other interests, and this is one of my interests, and I want to talk about it. So that's what I'm going to do, because it's my show, and I can do that. But going back to Hawkeye, I don't think it's that good of a show. I really don't. Compared to the other Marvel shows like WandaVision and Loki, it's not that good, and people have overhyped this show. Even the Captain America and the Winter Soldier show wasn't that good. Shang-Chi, it wasn't that good of a movie. But because Marvel is creating all this, you gotta love it. You gotta love it because it's Marvel. And that's crazy to me. And that's my biggest pet peeve. Like, the franchise has gotten so big to where it can do no wrong. And I understand that not everything they produce is going to be gold. And I'm going to be a critic on it. And Hawkeye is one of those things that I don't like. Not necessarily I don't like, I just don't think it's that good. And people love it for some reason. Shang-Chi, another movie. Didn't think it was that good. I thought it was okay. People have it ranked super high in the Marvel Universe. And it's not that good, in my opinion. It just wasn't great compared to the Black Panther or the second Captain America, Winter Soldier. It's not up there with those. And it's been labeled as such. And it's not that. It's not even as good as Thor 3. It's not that good compared to that. To me, it's like middle of the pack Marvel. But because it's Marvel, you got to praise it. And that is not how I roll. So that is my take. Hawkeye is not that good. We got to stop just praising everything Marvel produces because it's Marvel. Okay? Like, it's fair to criticize because if we don't, then they're just going to be okay with producing mediocre stuff. So I don't expect the Spider-Man movie to be mediocre. I'm expecting it to be fantastic and live to the hype. And if it doesn't, I'm going to be okay with criticizing it. Even though my expectations are really high for it, I'm going to be okay with criticizing it. And that's the way it should be. So my take or leave it take is stop letting Marvel get away with mediocrity. Don't be afraid to criticize them, because otherwise they're just going to become complacent and just produce whatever they want to produce, however they want to produce it, and not care what people say about it, because they're going to enjoy it anyways. And that's not how this should work. So that's my take. Don't be afraid of Marvel. Criticize them when you want to criticize them. When things aren't great, don't be afraid to say it. That's my take. Take it or leave it. That is it for this episode, you guys. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. Make sure to comment, like, and subscribe on wherever you're listening from. You guys can follow me on social media at Around the NBA. I am on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Again, thank you guys so much, and I'll see you guys next time.